Guess what day it is?
Live from the Allstate Showcase Studio. This is the Steve Cochran Show on Chicago's very own 720 WGN.
608, hi. I'm Stevie, radio friend. How are you? Peter Greenberg this hour, talking travel. Later, Pat Brady, Rick Pearson, Eric Edelstein. At any moment, Donald Trump may select the next vice president his United States.
You're going to say something else. I don't know.
Would you find me the notorious RBG's tweet war with Trump?
Oh, yeah.
Have it sitting in front of
sure.
me. Ruth Bader Ginsburg and Donald Trump are in a tweet war. Now, here's a question. Is it appropriate for a Supreme Court judge to take a shot at a presidential candidate? I would argue you need to take the high road. However, in 2016, the high road's a lot lower than it used to be. So Ruth Bader Ginsburg did an interview with, I think it was CNN last night. And Ruth Bader Ginsburg had a lot of things to say about a lot of different subjects. But at a time when the Supreme Court has been completely marginalized by the Republican Party, the idea that the Supreme Court should just fold their tiny hands and go away is frankly ridiculous as well. The notorious RBG, all 5 feet, 2 inches of her, had some things to say to Paul Ryan about the Trumpster that weren't all that complimentary. Did you find it?
I did, yeah. I printed it out for you, too, some of the tweets.
All right, so in the interview, Ginsburg said that Donald Trump was a faker, amongst other things. You know what it was? It was insulting coming from a Supreme Court justice, but it really wasn't that big a deal. Now,
right. This
again continues to be the Achilles heel of the Trumpster. The Trumpster has to respond to everything like the 12-year-old that he is. Because if the Supreme Court makes a statement like that, not officially from the Supreme Court, but one of the justices, you simply have to say this. Well, it's disappointing to hear, and I don't feel personally it's appropriate for justices to weigh into a political campaign. But like all Americans, she's entitled to her opinion.
True. She said a lot of things I think she probably should have kept to herself, being in the position that she's in.
He's a faker.
He's a faker.
He has no consistency about him. He says whatever comes into his head at the moment. He really has an ego. How's he gotten away with not turning over his tax returns? The press seems to be very gentle with him on that. None of that's not true.
True.
All of it is true.
Mm-hmm.
Didn't Alito have an outburst in the middle of the State of the Union address?
That wasn't Alito. That was it?
I think it was just Alito. Yeah. Maybe I'm wrong, but
one of the congressmen.
No, it was a justice who actually, he went rumph in the middle of like one of the president's first State of the Union addresses.
I don't know. Look it up for me.
All right, I will.
Trump's text this morning in response to Ginsburg. Justice Ginsburg of the U.S. Supreme Court has embarrassed all by making very dumb political statements about me. Her mind is shot. Resign.
How about that? I mean, come on.
Yeah. So you've got an elderly Supreme Court justice, and you're saying her mind is shot, which is a loose Alzheimer's joke of some kind.
Mm-hmm.
So once again, Trump has to respond. So this is the ninnies all over television for the last 24 hours talking about, again, Trump's strategy. He has no strategy.
Mm-mm.
There is no strategy. Open up, mouth, whatever falls out.
Right.
There's no strategy.
If he would have stopped at the first statement that you said, where he said, I think it's highly inappropriate that a U.S. Supreme Court
judge
gets involved.
But he didn't say that. I said that. He didn't say anything that I said. I said the grown-up thing.
No, he told the New York Times it's highly inappropriate that a U.S. Supreme Court judge should get involved in a political campaign.
That's a statement that was issued by his campaign.
Right.
That sentence would never come out of Trump's mouth.
Okay, so, that's true.
So I found it here.
Hold on a second.
All right.
And then Ginsburg, her response to Paul Ryan was a response to a question. So again, I don't know why Trump can't be the grown-up at least once. This is most of my point. So CNN and everybody else, they're just going on and on and on about, wow, this will really fire up his base. His base doesn't need to be fired up. They're already fired up. The Supreme Court making fun of Donald Trump isn't going to bring one more right-wing voter over to Donald Trump. They're already there. The question, geniuses, is what happens to the middle? Does this affect the middle? And in the middle, I would dare to say, in the middle, you're going to have more people picking the sweet little old lady on the Supreme Court than the blowhard named Donald Trump.
Right. So, and the comment about, the mind is shot, completely inappropriate.
And that rings with millions of people who have someone in their lives, including millions of people who are getting older, who are concerned about their own mental health.
Mm-hmm.
This coming from the same guy who made fun of a physically disabled New York Times reporter.
That was off the charts, too.
Same thing. All right, Stephen, go ahead.
Doesn't she have cancer, too? Isn't she,
surviving? Yeah, cancer survivor. Yeah.
Survivor. Yep.
So it was July 27th, 2010, during the State of the Union address, President Obama said he mentioned the Supreme Court's ruling reversing a century-old law on Citizens United on campaign financing. The camera cut to Justice Samuel Alito, who was sitting in the front row frowning and mouthing the words, "not true."
Oh, yeah, I do remember that.
And he was not criticized by Donald Trump then or the Republicans.
Yeah, well, Donald Trump at that point, wasn't he knee-deep in The Apprentice?
I think so.
Wasn't he all wrapped up
in
the
He was in production on NBC. Yeah.
Now, it was Celebrity Apprentice at that point, probably.
Now, there's got to be people that are responding to Trump's message. I don't know, the same way zombies respond to the dead. Because Florida has tightened up considerably, though Florida certainly should be a Republican state. Ohio, the numbers are tighter. Trump has gained some of the losses he had last month from his disastrous June back in the polls. It's still early, but can we please stop talking about whether or not Trump's base will respond? They're not going anywhere. There's nobody in Trump's base that's going, okay, I changed my mind, it's Hillary. At 6:15, Chuck Todd will not join us today. He'll join you and Dave tomorrow.
Yeah, that's right. He's going to be on with us tomorrow.
However, we've got our regular politics panel on today because we've got a bunch to talk about, including will Rod Blagojevich get a sentence that's less than the, 14 years?
Yeah, he got 14
should've
years.
Should have gotten 28.
He's going to be resentenced in August. But, we should talk about some of those letters, too, that they're writing on his behalf.
Who wrote a letter on his behalf?
Oh, they have a whole staff
of the guys
fellow
in prison.
Prisoners. Yeah.
Yeah. He supposedly started a band in prison, an Elvis band.
How about that? And he teaches GED classes.
Yeah, he's the best. He was so good for us. You have a TSA story?
We're getting word from Channel 9 that, remember how we had those TSA lines that were such a problem?
Yeah.
They're really bad at Midway this morning. For some reason, they're 120 minutes at least. So there's two-hour waits now at Midway, the TSA lines, to the main checkpoints, 90 to 120 minutes.
Why today?
They don't know why today.
Just that makes
a lot
sense.
Of people, but there's a...
Well, there had to be less TSA staff showing up for work or something.
There's a reason. I don't know the reason yet, but if you're flying out of Midway today, you're going to have these long lines again. And there's some photographs, too, that we can put up as well that are on the WGN-TV website with the lines that are just wrapped around all the way back by where the CTA trains are, you can picture that.
All right. Yes, Dave.
Well, I just checked my TSA app, and apparently it's not happening at O'Hare to that extent.
Yeah, it's got to be personnel related.
Yeah.
Personnel or mechanical. So remember yesterday we were talking about Pokemon Go a bunch yesterday morning? This is this new app that's taken the world by storm from Nintendo, where, as best we understand it, you wander around with your phone and you grab, you try to capture Poke Monsters at Poke Stops and Poke Spots.
I had two different friends yesterday say, "Did you download the app?"
No,
I did not.
So, Dave, what did I say yesterday was the number one advantage of this? Kids in the summer getting outside, getting fresh air, and getting exercise.
Yes.
So last night in my neighborhood, I see two kids who look like they're taking surveillance photos. And they're probably 10-year-old, little buddies.
Mm-hmm.
And it turns out they were catching Poke Monsters. And then they turn around and they get in mom's car as she's driving them around the neighborhood.
No.
Okay, look. This neighborhood is one of the safest neighborhoods in the country. Mm-hmm. Nobody's coming into this neighborhood to snatch your child. It's probably 85 degrees on a summer night. It's not a school night. It's before dinner time.
Mm-hmm.
There's no reason your kids can't get on their bike. They're probably very expensive bike that you have in the garage. Or their skateboard. Or here's a thought. Walk.
Walk.
Run.
What?
It actually made me sad. It made me sad to see these little kids get in the car and be. These are two very healthy little 10-year-old and 11-year-old, 12-year-old boys.
Do you know why she probably did it, though? Because they could get more. They could capture more Pokemon men. Did you say Pokemon?
I don't know. I think they're Pokemonsters, aren't they?
All right, so you can capture more Pokemonsters if she's in the car driving them around rather than walking over to the destination, I would think.
Yeah, I think it probably is more to do with the fact that, no, I don't want you guys getting hurt. Here, let me wrap you in bubble wrap and Nerf and then get in the car.
See, we used to go out and catch lightning bugs.
Right.
Right? And you poke some holes in the lid of a jar and you go out. They were real.
I just, I don't know. So if your kid's into this Pokemon stuff, let him get some fresh air. Let him breathe.
I think it's ridiculous.
Let the puppy outside to pee. Come on, man. Listen to Rains. It's summer.
I want to know the over or under for how long this is going to go on. Because you know this is a fad. You know this isn't going to go on for, by wintertime, by fall, this will be, I think, over, the craze.
Well, by math, Jake's the youngest guy in the room right now. So let me go to Jake on this. All right, Jake, you are 31?
31.
And you're immature.
Very much so.
Okay. So this Pokemon thing, how long will it last? And did your mom drive you around last night to catch Pokemonsters?
No, that was actually Monday night. I'm going to guess it's going to go for like a month.
A month. Solid. I think that's fair. I think that's probably pretty accurate.
And with this, you know, news cycle and everything else going on nowadays where we just tend to forget things after a couple of days, a month's a pretty good run.
Yeah, the news cycle has ADD. The news cycle can't focus on anything for an extended period of time. But I like that. I think it is a month. I think a month about sums it up.
Can I get in on this one?
Oh, you're predicting as well?
I am. I'm going to predict it's never going to end. This virtual reality stuff, it's the new thing. It's going to be here forever.
Yeah, but you're talking about a category. We're talking about the Pokemon.
No, thing. And Pokemon is going to be, trust me, this is going to be everybody's, you and I are going to be doing Pokemon because we're going to be talked into it or forced into
it.
I don't see it. They said that about leg warmers and parachute pants, though, too.
This is your inner nerd talking now with your Pokemon.
This is a fad.
Did you download the app?
Oh, no.
Oh, yeah. And someone check his phone.
No. If I hear one
Berkus,
more person,
go ahead and check his phone.
I can show it to you right here. I don't.
Susan will.
I will. You know, I think, if I may, that when the kids go back to school in about a month, that everything will taper off. And my son tried to download it yesterday, and it gave him an hour wait time, so he can't even get it.
Now, this is going to be something teachers are going to be screaming at kids to stop doing. I guarantee it.
I think Susan's right. I think by fall, it'll last longer than a Kardashian marriage, but I don't think it's going to go through school.
Yeah, once school starts, kids will be focused on something else. Susan, how old are your kids again?
Well, I have a 13-year-old and a 16-year-old.
Okay, the 16-year-old, obviously, not so much. But the 13-year-old, would you drive the 13-year-old around the neighborhood to catch Pokemonsters?
Oh, no. Never. Never.
Yay, Susan.
No, I mean, get outside.
A voice of reason.
Get outside. You know, Grzanich, we've had your mom on show, on the show. She's a lovely woman.
Mm-hmm.
Does your mom drive you around to catch Pokemonsters?
She doesn't even know what – I mentioned this to her yet. She doesn't even know what it is. And that's great because, you know, she lives in southern Illinois, and they don't have Pokemonsters down there.
You know, entertained.
they still have lightning bugs.
You know how entertained I'd be, though, if I saw Grzanich's mom driving around the neighborhood to catch Pokemonsters?
Just driving him around?
Yeah.
Oh, that might be a good YouTube video. We might be able to do that.
No, Mom, left. I said left.
Yeah. Right, no, there's one. What are these Pokemons?
And DeCoste standing there with his arms folded, shaking his head in disgust.
He'd have a song. He'll have a Pokemon song.
Oh, I hear it already.
Yeah.
All right, one more before we go to the break. You guys know about this college kid that wanted to take her driver's license photo with a spaghetti colander on her head?
Yeah, I heard about this woman.
Eric Zorn column I'd alert you to from, I think, yesterday. This is a suburban woman, 21-year-old college student, Rachel Hoover, from Arlington Heights, wanted to get her license renewed. And she told employees she wanted to wear a metal colander on her head because of her religious beliefs. Employees said, no, you can't do that. The headgear is a symbol for people who claim to be members of the Church of the Flying Spaghetti Monster. See the tie to Pokemon?
Yeah.
Church of the Flying Spaghetti Monster, a loose affiliation of skeptics whose belief system has satirized claims of conventional religions. They make fun of religion. The origin document for the church is an open letter from 2005, again, making fun of religious doctrine and religion in general. And she is a self-proclaimed pastafarian.
I'm sure she is. Could you see the people? Could you see the? First of all, you have to wait forever at the DMV. Can you imagine that you get to the front to take the picture and the look on the guy's face?
Well, here's the problem, right? You have to have, because they won't even let you smile at the DMV. If you smile on your driver's license picture, they'll tell you not to.
Oh, I smiled.
Oh, you probably got away with it.
I smiled. No, I had a nice smile.
Well, that's okay. But I when was yours renewed? Recently?
Oh, no. A year ago? 2 years ago?
Oh, maybe they've changed the rule. I was told don't smile.
Really?
Yeah, I was told you can't smile. Did you smile?
I've always smiled.
Maybe it's just me then.
Maybe it's just you.
No one ever told me not to smile.
Hey, hey, I'm a Steve Harvey, American Kathy fan. Don't smile.
They said keep it more like your mugshot.
Or when you're pulled over, you're not smiling.
Yeah, that could be the case. Because my driver's license photo looks like I just got out of Joliet. You know, and I was on the run from Menard.
Menard.
Do you smile in your picture?
I do. And
it's me. It's just me.
When I was in high school, it was only $5 to go and get a new picture taken. And so we would regularly go.
Get out.
If you get a different hair or something, yeah, get a new photo.
See, now that's fun. Yeah, you do. Look at your smile, $100. Yeah, yeah.
Well, I was really happy because I didn't have to wait in line.
But see, this is funny for me to hear this because I knew a woman who didn't like her driver's license photo. And I picked on her because she went back to have it retaken. Like she changed her hair and she went back. I thought she was the only one. Apparently you all do it.
Oh, no.
Oh, I did it like every year in high school.
You have to look good in your
hair. So again, apparently it's just me.
It's just you. Yeah, we're all, I smile.
I thought everybody goes in like a zombie and just stands there. It's just me.
Although, I actually have a smile and a little bit of a head tilt in mine.
Do you?
Yeah, you got to look cute.
Although I will, when you go for a passport photo, you're not supposed to smile now.
Oh, and that one I was giggling.
You're supposed to
laughing my butt off.
You're supposed to take your earrings off, put your hair behind your ears, and not smile.
Oh, no one told me that.
Yeah, because
I
went to Walgreens, and she said, stop smiling.
We could probably put this online, except I really don't want you to. This is my just escaped from Menard picture.
Oh, we have to put these online.
I don't know. Driver's license photos for the show online?
Yeah, I'll put them all.
Why are you so angry?
I am angry. I'm very angry.
Are we putting all of our information, including our address? And
no, we're not going to put our weight.
Driver's license number or just the picture?
I think just the picture would probably be the way we'd go.
I'd rather have my address than my weight put out there.
You might want to be concerned about your driver's license number, which is almost as big a key as your Social Security number to steal everything you have.
I like my picture, though. I do.
Okay. I'm going to let you enjoy yourself. It's 6:29. We're back with a big story next on 720 WGN.
Back to the Steve Cochran Show.
I've got a little poem that I'd like to read in honor of this occasion, if I may. Smalling, get your foot out the boat. It's easy to grin when your ship comes in and you've got the stock market beat. But the man worthwhile is the man who can smile when his shorts aren't too tight in the seat. Okay, Pookie, do the honors.
Bless this ship and all who sail on her. I christen thee the Flying Wasp.
Come sail away, come sail away, come sail away with me.
6:41 now. Peter Greenberg standing by. We love Peter Greenberg. Peter Greenberg, author of the greatest slogan for modern air travel ever. We're the airlines. We're not happy till you're not happy. And on a morning when TSA at Midway has decided to apparently largely take the morning off, it is a staffing issue at Midway, which is why the lines are from Midway currently to Milwaukee. O'Hare not suffering through those same problems. Just know that if you're flying out of Midway this morning, there may be an issue when you get there. Let's go to Peter. Good morning, Peter. How are you?
I am fine, sir.
And how is Monaco? Terrible, I assume?
You know what? Monaco is always Monaco. It's magical. It's mystical. It's a spectacle. And if you're not careful, you get to watch Ego on parade. Everybody out here with their super yachts, their supercars, because it's summer on the French Riviera.
And how is it that you, with all of the travel you do, almost every day of every year of your life, how have you not become a gambling problem? Did you ever fall into that?
Well, you know what? The casino here is mostly for tourists who don't know any better. It's nice to look at from an architectural perspective, but No. You know, you reach a point in your life where you realize if you walk in, you are going to lose. Okay, let's try that again.
Uh-huh. Right.
You're going to lose. You remember National Lampoon's Vegas Vacation? Remember the dealer in that movie when he sits down at the table? Well, that's what happens. You sit down there and the dealer looks at you and goes, you're going to lose.
Right. You just go ahead and just deal. It is a time saver. I'm telling you right now, if you get a chance to be in Vegas for business or whatever, just go right up the strip and throw 20s out the window. It's going to save you a lot of time.
And it's not half as fun, though.
So, all right. Why are you in Monaco?
I'm in Monaco because later today, Princess Charlene and Prince Albert are going to christen what could be considered the most luxurious cruise ship ever built. It's called the Regent Seven Seas Explorer. I'm actually calling you from the ship right now. It's only a 750-passenger ship, but they have literally gone over the top in terms of accommodations and the allocation of space. You know, naval architects are brilliant when they want to be, and on this ship they did a pretty good job. Everybody who wants to go on a cruise says they want to have a balcony.
Yeah,
I get that.
Yeah.
Most balconies on cruise ships are ornamental. If you walk out there, you might fall over. It's just not a lot of space. The balconies here, I mean, you can entertain like 10 people on them. That's a good deal. But the one thing that's wild about the ship, they have a suite, fasten your seatbelt, that rents out for $10,000 a night.
This is not where you're staying currently?
No, afraid not. But it's sold out. There's a lot of money out there that wants to have that experience. It's nearly 4,000 square feet.
Good Lord.
That's bigger than most homes. You know, it's crazy.
So this is why you have less passengers, but does this make the Regent Seven Seas, the new ship, is this going to be cost prohibitive going forward?
No, because they figure out how to amortize everything. They know what their profit points are. And what they've done here, and I have to give them a little bit of credit, you know, you and I have talked about this on the air before, the whole concept really in the hotel business of being nickel and dimed,
right,
for the airlines about all the ancillary fees, they have really sold this as an all-inclusive experience. Other than your spa treatments, everything else is included. Your shore excursions are included, your alcohol, your other charges. So nobody's going to their wallet. And at a certain price point, people really just, you know, value that. I mean, they actually will be happier when they're not thinking that they have to, you know, spend another $5 for a Diet Pepsi, you know?
Yeah, and the shore excursion thing is a huge deal because that usually is going to cost you as much as your airfare or whatever by the time you're done.
Oh, multiplied by two, because there's usually two people in the cabin. You're
right.
Right.
Right. All right, so this happens when?
This happens this evening, but let me put this in perspective. As I'm talking to you today, there's every shipyard in the world is actually operating at 100% capacity. There are 56 separate cruise lines being built right now, cruise ships of every pedigree and size you can imagine, because if you look at the numbers, only about 13% of the American public has ever taken a cruise. So somebody's trying to figure out what the other 87% want to do. But more importantly than that, it's the Chinese market. You know, there'll be 130 million Chinese that'll cross an international border this year. And if only 2% of them take a cruise, that's more than most Americans have cruised. So they're now building cruise ships just for the Chinese market.
How about that?
So it's going to be crazy, yeah.
I hadn't even thought about that. Outside of the 4,000-square-foot super suite, what's the coolest thing on the ship?
Well, I'd have to say the restaurants, because it's not just one kitchen and seven different dining rooms. It's seven different kitchens and seven different dining rooms so that you can have any kind of food that you want throughout the entire cruise. You're not stuck with just, you know, steak and potatoes. They've got an Asian restaurant. They've got an Italian restaurant. But it's all cooked to order. This is nothing's prepackaged.
How about that? Wow.
Yeah.
You know, I'm not a huge cruise fan, but this is one I'd consider because of everything you're describing. Mm-hmm. Available to the public after tonight?
Yep, available to the public after tonight. The christening starts tonight, and we even have Andrea Bocelli singing tonight, which will be kind of fun. And then I got to go back and work.
Couple of quick questions about your regular job, petergreenberg.com, by the way, for all things related to Peter Greenberg. There was a story about fees this week that the airlines were on the verge of beginning to charge bag fees for every connection you make on your flight and possibly ask you to collect your bag and go stand back in line to process the bag fee. True or myth?
No, it is going to start to happen because it gets back to the relationships that they used to have called interline baggage. So, for example, if I'm flying from L.A. to Chicago on American and then connecting on United to New York, I could check my bag in today all the way through to New York.
Right.
And not have to worry about it and pay one bag fee. But that would be the bag fee I paid to American. Well, guess what? The airlines want to, you know, maximize their revenue. So now they're going to tell you, if you really still want to check bags, you have to. It's a la carte. You have to basically pay the airline that takes you to point A and then pay the airline that takes you to point B, which completely defeats the purpose of checking your bag to begin with. You're just schlepping your bag now, and you're paying them to do it. So we go back to what you and I have always talked about, what I've done for the last 9 years. I haven't checked a bag domestically in the United States for 9 years.
How about that?
In my case, I courier my bags. I use FedEx, but you can use UPS and any one of a number of other services, because for about $25 more than what the airline wants to charge you for losing your bag or making you do this on a dance, which is nobody's going to be happy with that, your bag goes door-to-door. You save 2.5 hours of your life, and you're not schlepping.
And in 9.5 years, have you ever had a problem?
I have, and I'll tell you what. I've had it 3 times, and that's when there was a freak snowstorm in Memphis, because if I want to send a bag on FedEx from Chicago to Rockford, it's probably going through Memphis. That's just the way they're routed.
Yeah, right.
So whenever they had that weather problem, they lost it for about 8 hours. But guess what? They've never really lost the bag. It was just delayed.
So it's a pretty flawless system, and at some point you do have to value your time. And I never did it until Peter brought it up, and it's pretty flawless.
The only I do recommend is not to do it on international flights.
Right.
It's prohibitively expensive, and then you're dealing with customs, and that's not fun.
Right.
Boy, how does Southwest get away with that? I mean, when you fly, I like flying Southwest domestically anyway.
Yeah, how does Southwest continue to not charge for your bags?
I just did an interview with Gary Kelly, who's the CEO of Southwest, because they branded their entire airline as an airline that's not going to charge you for two bags.
Right.
And in a world where they want to keep the Wall Street analysts happy and the Main Street folks not happy, you would think that the stock market guys would say, look how many billions of dollars you're leaving on the table by not charging for bags. And you know what? You could make that argument if you were making that argument in a vacuum. Instead, what Gary Kelly says is, no, we're still going to continue to do this. We're not going to charge for bags because we have such great passenger loyalty that we fill more seats on our planes because people just are happy with the fact they don't have to pay for those ancillary fees.
Yeah, and until the math doesn't work dramatically in their favor, they're going to continue to do it. Is anybody working on the problem of causing passengers to gate check their bag and then stand in the rampway to get their bag back at the end of the flight?
Well, actually, if you're gate checking the bag, you won't be getting it at the jetway. You'll get it at the baggage claim. Most people who are...
Not on the commuters. The commuters here, it's happened to...
Oh, no, the commuters, oh, yeah, the commuters are different. They give you those little stupid valet
yep,
tags.
Yep, that's what I'm talking
you're
about.
You're on the conga line on the jetway. Well, you know what? I'd much rather do that than have to wait at baggage claim. It's actually faster because they're just hauling it up the plane, going up the back stairs or a little elevator to the jetway, and off you go. It actually does work better than you think it does.
Well, but there's a frustration element to it again, which to me goes to the poor organization of the airlines and your slogan that I gave you credit rightfully for. They're not happy till you're not happy. There's got to be a better way to screen the bags so we're not doing the gate check thing.
Well, in a world in which nobody wants to check anything because they don't want to pay for it, everybody's schlepping their bags to the gate, hoping they won't have to pay for it. When somebody says your bag's too large, we have to check it. That's what's going on. And what happens then is the airline has to take a delay at the gate because there are too many bags to load at the last minute. So the airlines created their own problem with that. But for the moment, they're making so much money on the fees, as you said, they haven't been given the economic incentive to change it because they're still making money.
Last question. Your friend, and by connection to you, our friend of the show, the president of Ecuador, was in here some months ago, a month or two ago, actually, and now there's been three devastating earthquakes here. What are you hearing?
Well, I was actually with him last week in Guayaquil, which is his hometown, and they've lost over 640 people in these earthquakes. The infrastructure's been devastating or devastated. Roads are out, basic goods and services, plumbing, water, electricity. But I have to tell you, the NGOs, the volunteer organizations have been amazing. One of our producers on the show went down with her two kids and volunteered for 2 weeks building houses with a great nonprofit called All Hands. They're literally rebuilding homes and communities because these people are displaced. They have nowhere to go. And any of these tragedies does one thing. It brings communities together.
Right.
And I've never seen a spirit of people that strong and that dedicated to making that happen than I have in Ecuador. And if anybody, this is a plug for people who want to volunteer their time. If you want to do that, go to our website, which is petergreenberg.com. We have a comprehensive list of all the aid and relief organizations working down there where you can go and truly give of your time and your skills. And you don't have to be a qualified home builder, which makes me feel better because I'm not,
right,
to actually get out there and help people.
Yeah, and thank your producer for stepping up. That's great. For all things Peter Greenberg, petergreenberg.com. He's suffering through a day in Monaco until he is part of the christening tonight of the world's coolest cruise ship. Try to get by, buddy. We'll talk to you soon.
You got it, Mr. C.
See you there.
I've never been to Monaco, someplace I do want to go.
What a life this Peter Greenberg has, right?
And I'm like you. I'm not a huge cruise fan,
yeah,
but that sounds really cool. 4,000-square-foot penthouse-type room?
$10,000 a night.
That's insane. Hey, we should...
We could call it the Jimmy.
We could. Show outing.
Guess what day it is.
This is the Steve Cochran Show, live from the Allstate Showcase Studio.
WGN Chicago.
720 WGN.
7-Eleven Rick Pearson joins us in just a second. I want to pause just a moment here to congratulate Dave Emmett and his lovely bride married how long ago?
31 years today. Hey, no, that's a long time.
Karen have a Purple Heart?
She does. She deserves a medal a day.
She's being canonized, I think.
There's a
this year.
Beautiful wedding photo of the two of you. Or was that your first wife?
No, that was her. That was her.
It's a beautiful wedding photo of the two of you. Where is that? Is that on your Facebook?
That's, I believe, on hers. But I can...
I thought you meant, where is it? I was going to say it's at their wedding.
Yes.
Yeah. She said, where is
generally
it?
Generally speaking, that's where it is. So it's on your Facebook as well.
It is.
Right.
It is.
Well, let's put it up at the station's Facebook. Can't we?
Look
do you
like
mind?
You.
Do you mind if we put it up on our station?
I don't mind. Page? No.
Do that fancy tag thing you kids do.
Okay.
Are you doing that?
It's 7:13. Rick Pearson is standing by at Rap30. You see him on Channel 9, CLTV. Of course, you read him in the Chicago Tribune at ChicagoTribune.com. This Sunday, he again will host the Sunday Spin. Will that be the Cleveland edition of the Sunday Spin?
No, actually, we will be doing the show and then heading to Cleveland.
All right. And who's your guest?
Well, but we will be talking an awful lot about Cleveland. We'll have Dave Yepsen from the Paul Simon Public Policy Institute.
Yeah, he's great.
Veteran political guy. Actually, our Pat Brady will be joining us. And I'll also have one of our Illinois Trump delegates.
Eric Adelson just walked in wondering why he can't get booked on your show.
Probably because you have to bring your own donuts. That's what it is.
See, that is an issue. That is. Let's start with the Blagojevich story. Does he have a shot of getting out early?
You know, there's a lot of chatter about that. Prosecutors have recommended that the full sentence be served. Judge Zagel is a very tough judge, and I'm not sure that in the pleadings, the remorse that Zagel wants to see, really, that he really believes it. I mean, I could see maybe a couple of years at the most being shaved off, but nothing really substantial here. I mean, it was always my feeling that George Ryan got 6.5 years, but Blagojevich came into office campaigning that he was a reformer to clean things up and basically was entitled to get double what George Ryan got.
Yeah, and I think every inch of it's deserved. Let's go to Prosecutor Brady here. You want him out early, don't you?
No, but my question to Pearson is, when there was a hung jury the first time, right?
They got him on a one charge or two in that first jury.
Do you know, was there ever an offer at that point for Blagojevich of like a 3 or 4 year sentence? Or did he just fight it and that's why Zagel launched him?
I don't believe there was ever an offer.
So they were going to go to a second trial no matter what.
Right, exactly.
But the counts that were dismissed recently, that's not likely to have a direct impact on this resentencing, if there is one?
Well, that's the argument, is that it was ordered back for resentencing because of the dropping of those, I believe, 4 or 5 charges. But nevertheless, the appellate court basically said that prosecutors were free to seek the current penalty. That you know, it doesn't have to change.
Can they seek more?
That's even possible. Yes.
Oh, not that I would ever ask for that, but yeah, I probably would.
I think 14. Boy, I think 14 was harsh. Rick, despite all, I know all the letters are coming out now from
Knuckles,
the prisoners.
Knuckles wrote from the exercise yard,
saying that you know he taught them. You know, he's teaching GED classes. He formed the band. Do you see any scenario by which Zagel will say time served?
I really don't. And again, that's just me talking here. Obviously, the judge will make his own decision. But I think it'd be unprecedented for him to say time served here. And, yeah, it does matter what an inmate activity is like in prison, and that's certainly a mitigating factor for any, you know, in sentencing. But that having been said, Zagel actually was part of state government for a time. He headed the Illinois Department of Law Enforcement. I believe he has a understanding of what he believes a governor should be, and that's why it was a bad draw for Blagojevich from the very beginning.
But even the change in the law doesn't necessarily, or the case that led to this, doesn't necessarily dictate a sentence reduction.
No, Blagojevich's attorneys have said that the ruling involving was it McConnell out in Virginia really doesn't have any bearing on the honest services issue that really has no bearing when it comes to Blagojevich.
Eric Adelson is an important mover and shaker in the Democratic Party. Do you have to pick Blagojevich up from prison if they get him out?
No, I actually I drew the long straw on that one.
Oh, you did?
I did, because I had made a bet early when people had said, well, stupidity is not really something that you could sentence someone to a long prison sentence on, but clearly that was not the case. Zagel factored in stupidity and boneheadedness in the Blagojevich sentence.
Incompetence, malpractice.
All of it, yeah.
Yeah, yeah. Is there anybody of consequence amongst Democrats who feel badly for Rod Blagojevich?
Well,
I mean, we'll say so publicly.
Look, I think any human being feels badly for his family and two
daughters. Oh, for his family,
daughters,
for his family, sure.
And all that. You know, it's a personal tragedy. But in terms of empathy for him, did he get too much of a sentence, all that? You know, I defer to the criminal justice experts. It seems 14 years seems harsh. But you know what? Don't do something stupid and don't break the law if you don't want to, dance with those kinds of risks.
And then while you're waiting your sentence, don't go on The View and Letterman and various other places.
The Apprentice,
and laugh
too. Donald Trump.
Hey, can you be a convicted felon and be a vice presidential candidate for president or not?
It's an interesting question. I don't know that there's ever been a...
I would think the answer is no, but that is really interesting.
I mean, not to jump the segment, but I think he's going to surprise us. So why wouldn't Blagojevich be on the
list?
Well,
and here's the thing.
Dennis Rodman.
If you do pick Rodman, future felon, or Rod Blagojevich, there would be a Supreme Court test. And, of course, we couldn't get a fair count on that because the Republicans won't give a ninth judge at even a hearing.
Well,
but you know
Ruth Bader Ginsburg's already given her opinion, so...
The notorious RBG.
Yep.
Yeah.
This is the Steve Cochran Show on Chicago's very own 720 WGN.
Now, here in Indiana, we know that strong Republican leadership works. Different from our neighbors in Illinois, we have balanced budgets. We've cut taxes. We've made record investments in education and roads. And today, there are more Hoosiers going to work than ever before in the 200-year history of the great state of Indiana. And that's exactly the kind of no-nonsense leadership that Donald Trump is going to bring to the White House this November.
Mike Pence, I don't know whether he's going to be your governor or your vice president. Who the hell knows?
You know what? That should literally be Trump's campaign slogan. Donald Trump, who the hell knows? That's just painful. Good God. Eric Adelstein's here. Pat Brady's here. Rick Pearson is with us. Telephonically, again, Sunday morning, the Sunday Spin starts at 7 a.m. All right, so let's go around the horn here, starting with you, Rick Pearson. Who's the VP for Trump?
Part of me really thinks that it's Newt Gingrich.
They're trying to achieve some sort of age record for combined age of the team? Is that what you're thinking?
Well, I think, if anything, Trump needs some kind of a bridge to Congress, and that would be Gingrich. And despite his faults, Mike Pence spent time in Congress, but I really think Gingrich is the guy. And I mean, these auditions have been kind of interesting to watch. It's almost its own reality show.
You've got to have somebody who is willing to not take one for the team, but to take one in the shorts, because Trump will not give a vice president any meaningful decision in the next 4 years if he is president. Trump will marginalize the vice president. Trump will mock the vice president in all this reality show that he's going to design for the White House. So who amongst those three is most likely to take it? In my head, it's Chris Christie, because he's already taken it. Thoughts? I mean, not that dead air is not great.
Mike, the sponsors. Look, I think fundamentally this guy is a showman, right? He's P.T. Barnum. I think it's going to be someone nobody's talking about.
I agree with that. I think it's going to be a head fake. I think it's going to be Wilford Brimley, because he's the only... the only Republican, the only guy in California or Hollywood that's ever supported Republicans.
I still think Cato Kalin's got a shot, but I think it's going to be a name.
You know, you said Ryan Seacrest months
maybe
ago.
Maybe Ryan Seacrest.
I think that really adds a lot. Yeah. Youth and
okay, and the serious end.
I think this show's been a bad influence on both of you.
I think Chris Christie. I agree with you. I think it's going to be Christie. I think Newt, possibly. Chris Christie, yes. And Pence, there's no way I think he'll do it.
You can't really make the health argument with Christie, because he's probably no healthier than Newt is.
Yeah, Newt looks like he's having trouble staying awake past 8.
Yeah. Well, wouldn't you if you were listening to Trump speak for that long?
What's with the gratuitous shot at Illinois from Pence? I mean, he didn't stand up there and say, you know, Indiana's where the Ku Klux Klan was founded and stuff like that.
Well, and here's the thing. Pence is not exactly a shoo-in to be the next governor.
No, he's not.
He's got
Mitch Daniels, the former governor, used to call Illinois the Simpsons. It was your neighbor down the street.
Yeah, but Mitch Daniels actually delivered.
Yes.
What's with the Trump tweet about Chicago, though, yesterday? Talking about the violence, he has to take this shot at Chicago on Twitter.
Yeah, on Twitter and in the speech itself. Rick?
One thing, too, about Pence is with Evan Bayh now back in the race for the Democratic seat in Indiana, that changes the political dynamics of Indiana as well. And, you know, that might be the best thing for Pence is to actually become the nominee for vice president to get out of there.
All right, so you got Christie. I've got Christie. Mm-hmm. You guys name somebody.
Seriously, I think it's going to be somebody nobody's talking about. I really don't know. I think he's going to shock the world.
Ivanka.
It's going to be those. We're going to have our jaws open and saying, are you kidding me? He surprised us again and it's taken us to a new low.
I agree completely.
In this presidential race.
Somebody nobody knows right now.
And it's not going to be good.
What about George, that old guy from the reality show? Wasn't it George? George was the old guy that was on The Apprentice?
Yeah, it was George. Yeah, his advisor. Yeah. I like that guy. And Carolyn, the woman. Not that I watched the show.
I think it's going to be Jennifer Aniston.
You do?
Yeah.
Wow.
I've been thinking about this a lot. I think it's going to be.
What about Ivanka? Would he pick Ivanka?
Yeah, he watched House of Cards. Of course
No, I mean, you guys are saying somebody out of the box. Wouldn't that be the best out of the box selection?
I wouldn't be shocked if that happened. I mean, you've got that constitutional electoral issue on New York then, but.
No, but here's the thing.
Oh, they
have
to be from a separate state?
Well, the electors can't.
Well, she didn't vote last time anyway, so where's she registered?
That's right, so who knows?
But. Here's what we know. We know that the far right is going to vote for him regardless. You could actually remove his head and find out there is nothing there, because there isn't.
You know, it's not really the far right,
though. And
he
would
vote
for him.
It's not just the far right. It's it's not just far right. He's getting this anti-trade stuff. It's not just far right people.
Right. Well, but my point is it all comes down to turnout. So it doesn't matter to those people who he picks. What matters is to the people in the middle and if they turn out. And if he picks some knucklehead for VP, then that just makes life easier for Hillary, America's worst candidate.
Better angels of our nature. Isn't this inspiring?
It's quite a festival.
Fire having. It up, baby. Fire it up.
Who the hell knows?
Last question, Rick Pearson. There's a new prime minister in Great Britain as of today. Any weight on the American political campaign 2016 from this, or do you think Trump doesn't know?
Who the hell knows?
I would think Trump doesn't know. That would be number one. But no, number two, I mean, it's going to be interesting to watch the turmoil that exists in the UK over the continued fallout of Brexit. Now, fortunately, the American markets have bounced back. There's going to be that ebb and flow that exists there, but this is going to be some tough navigation by the new prime minister over what the UK does and if it actually does leave the EU.
Sunday morning, it is the Sunday Spin with Rick Pearson before he heads to Cleveland, as does Pat Brady. Pat and Eric will be here for a few more minutes, and we'll continue this conversation. Also, Neil Patrick Harris, special guest Sunday morning on the Sunday Spin. Have a safe trip to Cleveland. I'll talk to you later.
Thank you.
All right. At Rap30 on Twitter. We'll come back and talk about America's hottest couple, Hillary and Bernie, together again. 729 and 720 WGN.
This is the Steve Cochran Show.
I have come here to make it as clear as possible as to why I am endorsing Hillary Clinton and why she must become our next president.
I'll tell you, these aren't just my fights. These are Bernie's fights. These are America's fights.
And I am proud to stand with her today.
Here with him in New Hampshire, I can't help but reflect how much more enjoyable this election is going to be now that we are on the same side.
What? Did we just become best friends?
Yep. You got a friend in me. Yeah, you got a friend in me.
The Jake Show. It's always very entertaining. 7:42, Eric Adelson. Eric, where do you work?
I work at AL Media Strategy.
Oh, that's you, Pat Brady. You working currently?
Yeah, Next Generation Strategies. Thank you.
Okay. Search either, regardless of what campaign you may be currently involved in, including your kid running for student council in the fall. I'd like to see both of you involved in a couple of student council races. I think you'd be good.
Yeah, my kids ran one year, and they all got off the bus, and all four of them lost.
You know, I get right off the bus. A lot of times those middle schoolers come to me, and I say, are you ready to go negative? And they won't do it. And so... You know, it's just no fun.
Yeah, really. I mean, if you're going to get involved, you got to be willing to play. We were talking about Bernie and Hillary. So, Eric, obviously, we go to you on this. Sure. Our long national nightmare is over. Bernie Sanders has finally endorsed Hillary Clinton.
I mean, it's fine, and I think it played out all right. But his timing is impeccably terrible. Mm-hmm. I mean, he waited 35 days since she basically clinched the nomination. He did it on a day that basically made him maybe the third or fourth political story of the day.
Why yesterday?
Why yesterday, the day the president and Bush are speaking, really an important moment, I think, in not just politics, but in America, to have a president, a former president, talking about race at this horrible, you know, thing that happens in Dallas. Then you have all the crazy, stupid reality show of Trump and the vice presidential thing. And then you have Bernie, maybe the third political story. And, you know, again, he kind of made it all about himself. Look, putting all that aside, he did the right thing. He didn't wait till right before the convention. The party will be united. There'll still be some hard feelings, but we've seen this movie before. And I think, you know, look, sometimes enemy of my enemy is my friend. And I think the prospect of Donald Trump being president is pretty focusing for everybody.
Poll yesterday said 78% of Bernie voters would vote for Hillary in a tight race. The other 22% could make a difference.
They could. I imagine that number will continue to narrow. I think if you'd taken a similar poll in 2008 about Hillary supporters and Obama, you would have seen a similar number.
I think it was even higher, wasn't it?
Probably.
Am I crazy? I feel like I remember Hillary supporters screaming, "We're going to get John McCain elected." Did that happen?
Oh, there was a lot of that discussion. Yeah. But no, McCain, I don't believe he became president unless I've tried to.
It's a long time ago.
Yeah. I forget.
Speaking of VP picks, 2008.
Does she have a shot, you think?
I think so. I think she's on the short list. All right, well, who does Hillary pick?
Well,
you're still on a Tim Kaine train?
I think Tim Kaine remains the front runner. I think, you know, there was that one political...
Ooh, are they exciting?
Electric.
Yeah, I know. But, you know, look, sometimes it's doing no harm. And I think sometimes when people try to overreach on vice president, they hurt themselves. Bush almost did it with Quayle, you know.
Can Hillary maintain this competency, I'm focused, I'm a steady hand strategy throughout and win with a goof like Trump that might get some traction with some of the stuff he says?
And in the environment we're in right now, where noisiest wins.
I think so. I think that their noisiest wins the press battle of the day. But I think we've seen this turn on the way the press is covering Trump from glowing and kind of agog and can't wait to see what he says in a positive way in the primaries. And it's really turned if you look at the trend line. So I do think her...
They won't even put him on as much, right?
No, they won't put him on as much. And when they do, it's highly negative.
And I've talked to people at CNN who said they'd still call most mornings and they turn him down.
Yeah.
You know, before they go, is he on the line?
Please.
Is he on the line?
Right. He's gonna have oatmeal this morning. Let's cover it. You know, and I think that's changed somewhat. But look, I think that you can play small ball to some extent when you're faced with these kinds of contrasts, and I don't think you try to beat him at his game. Let him go out there and hang himself. Let him go out there and say stupid things and make people say, do you really want this guy to be your president?
You know, I agree, but he's just gotten away with it. He has said for a year we've been on him about this stuff, starting with the veterans and McCain and the POWs, and it just seems that nothing, however stupid it is, nothing is sticking.
Right. Well, and I essentially did an Alzheimer's incel yesterday with Ruth Bader Ginsburg, who, by the way, doesn't have it, but made a joke that, not a joke necessarily, but made a comment that goes right to the core of every senior in this country who worries about whether or not they may be slipping. And again, the middle matters. The middle will elect the next president of the United States. And even if you're a Trump supporter, I would think you'd be offended by that line if you've got somebody that's older in your life, or you. And he's throwing that out like it's, you know, right. like it's okay.
Well, and I have another question. I mean, I know there's this sense of Supreme Court justices are supposed to be apolitical and all that stuff. But, you know, it's a branch of government. Why can a member of Congress criticize the president, or the president criticize a member of Congress, but a Supreme Court justice? There's no case that she's involved
you
in.
No, this is where I don't agree, because I said the same criticism of Trump when he went after the judge in California. And there's a separation argument there that they need to respect, and particularly with the Supreme Court. You keep your mouth shut. You're not supposed to be political. That's why you have lifetime appointments.
Yeah, I would agree with Pat, just in regards to the fact that you give fire to the argument that these are political appointees, when I think you certainly should be making the counter argument that their core decisions are not their life. And they have to make a judicial decision based on who they are, not who they are politically.
I think that's fair. I would just say, in an extraordinary circumstances, it is a co-equal branch of government. And when the American people are ready to make a choice that's potentially devastating, I don't mind a co-equal branch of power in this country speaking out, some individual speaking out and saying, don't do this, America.
Yeah, but it's co-equal. They're supposed to impartially interpret law, though, which is not
it. The Constitution doesn't say that. That's precedent. I'm just saying,
you went to a better law school than me.
No, I'm just saying it's an interesting debate.
I think it is. No, I do think it is. And in these times, they are a changing. Right. By the way, I want to remind people what Trump said. What was it?
The tweet was, Justice Ginsburg of the U.S. Supreme Court has embarrassed us all by making very dumb political statements about me.
Pause on that for a second.
Wait, isn't he talking about himself?
Pause on that sentence just for a moment.
Okay.
Making very dumb political statements about me. There's a lack of intellect just in that sentence. That's striking to me. Keep going.
This is continuing. Her mind is shot. Resign.
Steve, he does have the best words, though.
He knows a lot of words.
He knows a lot of words. Yeah. He has the best words. He just has trouble putting them in the right order.
Yeah, this could be catastrophic.
Right. So all I'm saying, in an extraordinary election, I don't mind an 83-year-old justice who has universal respect in a lot of ways saying, this guy's a moron.
Yeah, but when Clarence Thomas opens his mouth,
then we got problems.
That's a problem.
Then I'll have a problem with it.
Don't you get the sense? I know he spoke during one of the last few trials. I don't remember which one. But don't you get the sense that once he starts talking, he's not going to stop?
Yeah.
You know, he's going to be like a four-year-old that can't play the quiet game. He's just going to keep going and keep going and keep going.
Well, I think of more as Ringo Starr, like the luckiest guy ever, who's just like, I don't want to blow this. So
yeah,
I'm
that could be that.
I'm going to stay quiet.
Could be a little of that.
He's been on a long time.
Yeah, it was a little rough in the beginning.
Yes, it was tough.
All right, more coming up with Eric Edelstein and Patrick Brady. Stand by.
Mike Pence, I don't know whether he's going to be your governor or your vice president. Who the hell knows?
Just part of me, this is deep into it. Pat and I were talking the other day about how it's been just about a year since we started the Trump, what are you kidding me, conversations. I feel like at this point we should just play Trump and not say a word. Just long periods of dead air between another cut of Trump.
What country are you going to be sent to if he does win? Because I'm probably in Central America.
Yeah. We're both out. It's just a matter of where. And if they keep Guantanamo open, I have a feeling I may get a room.
We might be
some vacancies there.
Yeah, there's quite a few, actually. At 7:54, Loretta Lynch is part of the Republican Party, specifically the House, part of their plan. The House goes to work now, and they said, how can we be just as ineffective as Springfield? And then they go to work on things that they should never even consider taking up. There was the grilling of the FBI director, one of the most vetted and most respected guys in the country, James Comey. And then the Loretta Lynch thing comes along. And not that Loretta Lynch didn't do something really dumb by letting Bill Clinton get on the plane. But here's a little mashup of the grilling of the attorney general. Listen.
Secretary Clinton stated that she never sent or received information marked as classified on her server. Director Comey stated that was not true. Do you agree with Director Comey?
You know, Director Comey has chosen to provide great detail into the basis for his recommendations that were ultimately provided to me. He's chosen to provide detailed statements.
Secretary Clinton stated that she did not email any classified material, and Director Comey stated there was classified material emailed. Do you agree with Director Comey's conclusion about that?
Again, I would have to refer you to Director Comey's statements for the basis for his recommendation.
Director Comey stated that there is evidence of potential violations of the statutes regarding the handling of classified information. Do you agree with Director Comey's statement?
Again, I would refer you to Director Comey for any further explanation as to the basis for his recommendations.
It's just, look, here's the thing that frustrates me about this, and I want people to hear this. Does Hillary Clinton lie? Absolutely. I believe it's her first instinct. I don't mean she does it every time she opens her mouth, but I do believe that's what goes to her brain initially. It's the instinct of whether or not I tell the truth. That's the first question she gives. Secondarily, do I think there's something that is actionable in regards to her emails? I'm going to go ahead and defer to the people who actually do this every day and have spent millions of dollars and hours and hours and hours and hours and hours of time going through it. The fact that the United States Congress, with a lot of important issues, would sit down and have multiple hearings on multiple days and waste the time of the FBI director and secondarily of the attorney general when they absolutely know there's no outcome to this that's going to change is just appalling to me, because all you're doing is creating campaign material and you're supposed to be better than that. So even though I would love to criticize Harry Reid and Nancy Pelosi here, and I've done it for years, there are people on the Republican side that are just as bad. And that's why when you go to vote this November, you need to figure out who you want thrown out. I never used to be one of those guys. I never used to be one of those throw out the incumbent guys. But I think you need to do the research, find out who matters to you more than ever, and get rid of the bums who are doing nothing than try to keep the job because they don't care about what you're doing. It's not about what's right. It's what's right for them right now. And it's appalling. Both parties do it, but in the case of the time wasted in the last 2 weeks by the House, Pat, call someone, will you?
I just blame it on Eric. I think it's Eric's fault.
I'm not sure how. I don't know how that leap was made.
I'd like to apologize to the American people right now.
I can't disagree. But you know, on the flip side of that, here in Illinois, the reference you made, Governor Rauner had an announcement yesterday about a task force to actually maybe try to get this school funding formula right, so we can get our schools in the state funded and provide the education kids deserve. So I think that's a positive step forward.
Is Matt going to come to that meeting?
I don't know, but at least it's something positive moving forward and trying to get something done.
I mean, to your point, Steve, it's why it's all become spectacle, and it's about the news cycle. And, you know, clearly, and Democrats do it too, it's sort of, can we get a gotcha moment that becomes fodder for campaign ads and has nothing to do with governing or doing anything to solve problems?
I do think, though, and heard the way she answered her questions, there was a big fight between Comey and Loretta Lynch. That's why he did the press conference to say, here's the case. We're not going to bring it. That's not his decision anyway. It's Loretta Lynch's decision, but I think they were told we're not going to do it. So he beat her to the punch. I imagine those two aren't going to
he didn't want. She didn't want him to go out and sort of.
No, I've never seen that.
That's pretty unprecedented.
Totally come out for the FBI, who's not the prosecutorial end of it.
That was bizarre.
Yeah.
To have
and to indict her like he did, I've never seen anything like that, because you're really supposed to keep your mouth shut. When she's saying you have to direct to him, she wasn't giving her opinion on the evidence, which is probably the right thing to do.
Yeah, but I also think it's the right thing to do for the FBI director and the attorney general behind closed doors to scream at each other.
That's fine. It happens all the time.
Yeah, I think that's
a natural tension. That's what the prosecutor's there for.
Perfectly appropriate to air this out. But I also think, and I'm not defending Loretta Lynch, what she and former President Clinton did is ridiculous.
She should have immediately recused herself.
Exactly. Yeah, and then you defuse the argument. But the nincompoops on all sides are running Washington. And by the way, the nincompoops are serendipitous. It's the big word hour on the Steve Cochran Show.
Huh? You have the best words.
In Cleveland, that's where Pat Brady will be. Eric, I've got a feeling you're not making any Trump plans for Cleveland.
I am not. I'm not going to be saying hello, Cleveland.
Will you be in Philadelphia?
I will be in Philadelphia.
Andrea Darlis will be in both. Where will you be next week?
I will be in Cleveland Wednesday through Friday, and I will be in Philly the following Wednesday through Friday.
I will be on the floor with my monkey cam getting pictures.
I'm going to be with him.
Right.
What he said.
Oh, look, I'm with her. You're with him.
I'm with him.
Yeah, look at you.
There you go.
Look at you.
My new slogan.
Both of you, stay alive. Whatever you do, stay alive. We will find you.
Safety in numbers, Pat.
Right. It could get a little goofy in Cleveland, so please take care of yourself.
Ladies and gentlemen.
Dean Richards joins us from Channel 9.
Citizens of the world.
Some of the world's greatest entertainers are here tonight.
Ladies and gentlemen, may I present to you.
And tonight, guess what? It's going to be Dean.
Yeah, Hollywood. You know I love you more than what I should. Yeah, Hollywood. Well, kiss me, kiss me good.
Paul Coy coming up in about 10 minutes, maybe a little bit longer. He'll be announced later today as Britain's new prime minister.
Not Paul Coy. I think it's going to be Theresa May.
What?
I don't know if Paul knows that.
What
though.
A terrible disappointment for Paul. And I'm going to have to break the news to him. First, Dean Richards joins us from Channel 9. Good morning, Dean.
I have also heard that Paul is about to be named prime minister. As so many other Steve Cochran Show regulars have gone on to lofty government positions.
Yeah. Remember when Trump was an intern?
I do.
Doesn't seem like that long ago.
I remember when you used to have him outside talking to people outside the window.
You're all a bunch of losers. Jennifer Aniston all over the news today. And, of course, whenever Jennifer Aniston's name come up, we always want to remind people that there's no bigger fan of her work than Mary Sandberg, the producer of this show. Sandberg loves Jennifer Aniston. Really does. So what's she upset about?
Is she to marry what Julianne Moore is to Andrea?
Yes.
Yeah, it's
but I like Jennifer Aniston.
Yeah, it's closer to the truth. So Jennifer Aniston's tired of being told she's pregnant.
Well, she wrote quite a lengthy essay that's in Huffington Post because she says, you know, she's sick and tired of Steve. You can relate to this: the scrutiny and the body shaming that goes on daily,
all the time,
under the guise of journalism, the First Amendment, and celebrity news.
This is yesterday. I'm just trying to leave my house to go play a few holes of golf, and there's a couple of kids out there with phones, obviously from the junior paparazzi.
It turns out
they were playing Pokemon Go. But they could have been from the junior paparazzi.
I think it's the kids in that committee that started in your neighborhood. Get Steve to stop wearing a Speedo outside of his house.
Or at least have something else on.
Get Steve a bathrobe committee.
Remember when I overcompensated and I had the Speedo and fishing boots?
That was creepy.
That was not a great look.
That was a little creepy.
What was I thinking there?
Jennifer Aniston has included in this essay, says, for the record, she's not pregnant. It was reported by a tabloid last month that published some vacation pictures of her with what they said was a baby bump. She said that she had just had lunch and, you know, she felt a little bloaty just then. But she's sick and tired of, what the celebrities have to go through. Of course, unless they need us to help promote movies, then that's completely different if we do that. She said that she's talked about how a woman doesn't need to be married or to have children to have a fulfilling life. She's mad at the tabloids, as she should be.
You read it. What did you think of her statement?
I've never liked her more. I mean, I've always been a fan of hers, but I think that it's so fluent. I feel so sorry for celebrities, women in particular, that really, I mean, I know she's a celebrity. I know she's in that role, but she wants to just leave the house, and maybe she wants to go to Target, or she wants to go to the beach. And they take these pictures, these paparazzi, and they stalk them. I mean, I think it's stalking. Well, and they put these pictures up, and so she
well,
has
the picture,
to be
the
in...
picture has to sell, so the picture has to match some story. And, Dean, you've seen this in action where they'll come out and they'll yell or something incendiary to get the appropriate expression.
Where we do the interviews, generally at hotels, there will often be 20, 50 photographers hanging out in the driveway of the hotel so they can scream something to get a startled look, to get some kind of weird reaction just so they can snap a picture. And then try to sell it to, you know, one of the websites.
It's like when I walk out and they all start yelling Denzel.
Yeah.
Right. Denzel!
I love celebrity news. I love Dean's interviews. You know, when Dean sits down with a celebrity, I love those interviews because I like the background and, you know, I really do, Dean. But when you see these tabloids stalking these poor people and she put in this essay, the objectification and scrutiny we put women through is absurd and disturbing. And I do agree with that.
Yeah, I know, but here's the thing. I think here's the thing. I don't disagree at all with what you're saying. But if your career is made on some level of objectification. You don't get to call no at 47. Sandberg, you disagree with me?
No, I agree. In these very magazines where these pictures she's mad about them being in are her Aveeno ads and her Smartwater ads. Like, she's, you know, the part of the thing that's selling it, and she wants her product sold that she's being paid to sold, be, you know, sold. She's,
yeah, I have the same thing. I completely agree with what Andrea's saying. I can't even imagine how difficult it must be to try to conduct your life, just, you know, a normal life,
but,
especially if you have kids.
Right.
But if, you know, these ads that they do is one thing. That's a paid thing. But when you're promoting a movie, now you're asking to be objectified. Now you're standing on every red carpet. You're making every appearance. You're putting yourself out there. And I'm not saying that the press doesn't know any difference, but it does kind of send a little bit of a mixed message that sometimes it's okay to objectify you if you have a movie coming out, and other times it's not.
Yeah, yeah. I think a large part of her frustration probably comes from her own personal life, and I don't know her at all. But at 47, being, you know, that thing they do in golf where they go, the best player never to win a major. Woman most likely to have a baby. Woman most likely for America to want her to have a baby.
Right.
You know, all of that stuff. So she has that pressure along with whatever decision she makes or doesn't make about having children. And she's 47.
Right.
So, you know.
And maybe there's personal things going on in her life. Maybe she was trying to have a child or trying to conceive. But that, you know, that part of her celebrity is private.
That part seems so off limits to
me.
Yeah,
I agree.
And I don't think that I've ever reported on anything like that or baby bumps. Or
no, it's off limits to you, but it's not off limits to the creeps that follow her all day.
Yeah, that just seems like that's such a private thing. If you choose to make a statement saying, you know, we're pregnant, you know, we're happy, if you choose to share that personal information, that's one thing.
Right.
But to stalk somebody and to take a picture of somebody on a beach, you know, and say, look at their obvious baby bump, you know, when they've just eaten a chicken.
It's a little weird.
Yeah.
It's a little weird.
Yeah.
We got to get to Paul Coyd here in a second. But first, what's the story of this Canadian singer who changed the anthem?
It was a group that sang the Canadian national anthem at the All-Star game last night.
Yeah, yeah.
The Tenors. They were singing the Canadian national anthem and included as part of the lyrics, changed the lyrics of the national anthem to include the phrase, "All Lives Matter." Which now has become sort of the anti-Black Lives Matter chant, and lots of people are offended by that. So there was a big blow-up with that. Same with Jennifer Lopez. She tweeted out yesterday. She was just trying to promote this charity song that she did with Lin-Manuel Miranda from Hamilton.
About Orlando. Right?
And about where the proceeds are going to the victims of Orlando, called Love Makes the World Go Round.
Yeah.
But she tweeted, hashtag All Lives Matter, hashtag Love Makes the World Go Round, and there was a barrage of criticism against her for doing that, saying that she was posting an anti-Black Lives Matter statement. She removed the tweet immediately and said she didn't even know that that was...
Remember, America gets up every morning trying to be offended and can't wait till the first thing comes up that you can tweet about or Facebook about that offends you. Last thing, Adele's been in studio all morning, but she won't go on the air. Why, let me just check
that's,
in. Adele! That's all I can get out of her. She's in town. She was at the Shedd Aquarium.
Exhausting. She had a private tour of the Shedd yesterday.
I wonder if her guy Roger did it.
Maybe. It's very, very possible.
Roger German?
Yeah.
Very possible. She and her little boy went there, and they did melon bumping.
I'm sorry?
They did what's called melon bumping. That's,
I don't know what that is. Dave, you know what that is? Let's go to Dave on this.
Melon bumping is the...
Melon kissing. It's called melon...
Oh, well, that explains that's totally different.
Much clearer now. Melon kissing is where a human puts their forehead against the fleshy melon top of a beluga whale's head.
That's what I was going to say.
How's the beluga whale feel about this?
Which we would like to invite people to come downtown to our showcase studio and do that.
You can do that with me.
Exactly.
Yeah, yeah. And in case of, in my melon, it's the giant melon on top of my head.
That's right. We can get 20, 30 people on there at one time.
Right.
It's like a ride at Great America. Adele said that doing that was one of the best things that she's ever done in her life. Wait till she melon kisses me. She's been spotted at a bunch of downtown restaurants and bars. Their final show is tonight at the United Center, but sold out. So if you want to see her, you got to come by Steve's studio where she's not saying anything.
Yeah, but also Dave Ennett has two tickets for his anniversary tonight, but he is willing to sell them to the highest bidder.
Well, everything's negotiable, right?
Nothing says happy anniversary than a scalp ticket.
Honey, we're going to Portillo's instead. 8:21, back with Paul Coyne. I'm the new Prime Minister of the UK next. 7:20 WGN.
Back to the Steve Cochran Show.
I expect to go to the palace and offer my resignation, so we'll have a new Prime Minister in that building behind me by Wednesday evening. Thank you very much.
Wait for it. The mic's still on.
Right.
Someone indicates to the Prime Minister Cameron he left his mic on as he strolls from the head of the UK and sings his way out. Paul Coyne joins us live from London. Is the mic being left on sing thing, is that getting any play in London?
Yeah, it is. But the thing is, it's nothing unusual here because apart from apologizing, we sing uncomfortably. We do that all the time. If we don't know what to do, we sing. But the thing is, it's not a song. It's just a load of rubbish. So if I'm sitting uncomfortably, you know, I'll say, hi, Steve. And then you say something, I'll go.
So that's how you Brits handle awkward. Awkward moments, you do it by humming or singing.
You know what? That's exactly what we do. It's how we handle awkwardness. If the apology doesn't work, we will just hum to ourselves and imagine that we're in this world full of nonsensical tuneness, and we can swallow ourselves up in it and nobody will ever notice.
Well, we noticed yesterday that the tea kettle went off, the giant tea kettle in London, indicating that a new prime minister had been chosen. Who is this woman, Andrea? Theresa May?
Theresa May, the Home Secretary.
All right, who is she and why is she the next prime minister?
Okay, she's been around for a while, and what's interesting is a lot of the news channels have been calling her Theresa May for a while, and it's only today that things have been corrected that it is Theresa, and she was the Home Secretary. She's been in Parliament, well, she's been in the government for quite some time. She's sort of been around. But when it came to who's going to actually step up to the plate and who is going to become the next Prime Minister, she was automatically the favourite, mostly because she was the one most people have heard of that wasn't Boris Johnson.
So there's no extraordinary achievements or anything that would make her the obvious choice?
As an extraordinary achievement, what, like a golf expert or what?
I don't know. I mean, is there something really that makes her stand? Look.
Actually, there is.
There is.
And that is leopard skin print shoes with a kitten heel. That's her thing. If you look up anything Theresa May shoes, you will see the leopard print, and I don't think I need to say any more. That is why she is the next prime minister.
Mm-hmm. Okay, now for real, Paul, I like her. I mean, I not that she's not wearing the leopard skin shoes.
For real.
All right, so
this is the awkward part where he hums.
Right, all right, so I think the natural thing to do would be to compare her to Margaret Thatcher, obviously, first female prime minister since Thatcher.
A cheap shot, I might say.
Okay, so she's nothing like Margaret Thatcher.
Well, she's a woman, and she's British, and she's conservative.
Okay, aside from the physical characteristics of her, her politics.
Characteristics? No, not really. No, just ends on the woman, really. That's about as far as it goes. But there is going to be, because, of course, she's the second female prime minister of this country, and a conservative, and so automatically, the Iron Lady, Margaret Thatcher. But it's ridiculous, really, isn't it? You know,
by the way, for people that think Paul was kidding, multiple media sources reporting on Theresa May's shoes. She is known for her love of shoes. To commemorate her rise to prime minister, the Sun newspaper featured a mocked up picture of one of the stilettos stamping on the heads of her male colleagues in the Conservative Party. She has a lifetime subscription to Vogue magazine. And has been featured as one of the great shoe lovers of the world.
Okay, didn't we just go through this whole Jennifer Aniston objectifying women.
I'm reporting
discussion.
The facts. Uh-huh. I'm just, listen, it's your feet. I'm not objectifying your feet. I never had that issue.
Listen, it doesn't matter whether it's a man or a woman. If you wear a good shoe, I don't know whether that, you can always tell the sort of person they are by the shoe that they wear and how they wear it.
I am a shoe fan.
All right, so let me ask you this. She has to take over all of the nonsense to get you guys out of the European Union. This is all on her now, right?
Yeah, yeah, it's all on her. So she comes in, and this is it's the poison chalice, really. You get the job, yeah, as you would say, Steve. She gets the hat,
yeah.
Takes over, and you think you get into a nice job. You get settle in, open a few things, appearing on, you know, on a few TV shows. But she's going straight in, and so she's having to get us out of the European Union, which she was actually for staying in. But although this country is democratically voted that we're going to get out, that's what she says is going to happen, and she's going to oversee that, and she's going to have a special Brexit cabinet, and also they're even searching for a building that's going to be like a Brexit building where they're all going to sit in and work out how we actually get away from this European business.
This continues through the fall, of course, but to sum up, how do you feel and how do Londoners feel and how do UK residents feel about your new prime minister?
Yeah, pretty indifferent, really. Pretty apathetic about everything. We don't really mind.
That's my friend Paul Coit. We're back with the big story next on 720 WGN.
This is the Steve Cochran Show.
Summer goes, fall arrives, the Hawks return. And it all starts this weekend. On Friday on this show, we're going to do a Hawk extravaganza. We're going to do a Hawkapalooza. You guys are going to be joined by Judd Surratt.
Yes.
And you are going to do a Hawks convention kickoff.
Yes.
With special guests. And one lucky caller will get a chance to spend the weekend with Coach Q and the Dells.
Yes.
No, that's not true.
No.
That's not true. But Coach Q is standing by right now. It's going to be a big show on Friday. We kick off the convention with my friend Coach Q. How are you, buddy?
I'm doing great. How you doing?
Welcome back.
Well, it's good to be back, and I look forward to this weekend. And we got prospect and development camp here going on right now too. So it's been a fun week, and look forward to seeing everybody at the Hilton there this week. So it's fun getting back in the swing of things in the middle of the summer.
Now you've done this year after year after year now, but it never fails, and so have I. But it never fails to amaze me because John McDonough invented this thing. He invented the fan convention back with the Cubs. And what year, Dave? Was that 85, 86?
Probably somewhere in the
mid to late 80s.
Yeah.
And every team does this now. Every team does it. But McDonough invented it, and the McDonough brand of this is huge. And when you think of from the first year, Coach, when you took over to now, it's just this town loves the Chicago Blackhawks. And there are no more fervent fans than the ones that buy their tickets the moment they're announced. It'll be there this weekend. It's got to be fun for you guys.
It's a fun weekend. You see the enthusiasm, how passionate our fans are, and it's amazing. No matter where you go, whether they're watching the scrimmages yesterday or walking through airports, they're everywhere. We got a great allegiance. We're very appreciative and spoiled in a lot of ways, and we have the fans come out over the course of the weekend here and come from everywhere as well. So it's a good chance for them to get to see some of the guys up close and. Sometimes get a chance to share a story or two but it's definitely we're fortunate to have the fans we do have, and it's fun in the middle of the summer getting to visit with everybody and sharing some of our stories as well.
Well, yeah, this is traditionally the off season in your game when your bosses first threw this idea at you, Joel, about getting everybody together in the middle of July in Chicago for a celebration of hockey. What were you thinking?
Well, I hadn't seen it before, so I didn't know what to think. So I was looking forward to it, and then you saw exactly how it all played out, and the excitement of the fans and the passion that they showed to the team, and it's a great welcoming format for players that just like a couple of guys that just recently signed, new to the organization, they get to experience it right off the bat, something they probably never seen before as well. So it's a It's a great feeling. It's almost like when you hear the anthem, you get that same chills up your body, and it's a special feeling, and you're not going to capture that in other markets or other teams, and we're fortunate in a lot of ways.
So this is the official fast track now for work, I would think, right? I mean, you're back in business pretty much every day for you.
We're getting close to that time. We got, the World Cup that's keeping us busy as well. We got that on the forefront. We'll miss some of the training camp ourselves, but the whole month of September will be devoted to the World Cup, and it'll be exciting for a number of teams and a number of our players. We're going to have several guys there, and we're all representing almost every country and all different opportunities. So it'll be fun for some guys too to get exposure to that type of a format and that type of a pace, and the best teams in the world or best players in the world all together in a tight format. It'll be fun to be a part of, and at the same time, we're still thinking about our team, and we'll see how that looks. But we're certainly excited about how our team's going to fare and look come September, and then looking forward to getting off to a great start when we begin.
You've had your prospects camp going this week. Anybody catch your eye?
I saw them for the first. I just got here yesterday. Saw them all for the first time. Several guys. I was watching some guys a little bit more. The entry-level group there, more of the guys that some of them we've seen already, and some guys that kept me was on the ice for the first time mm-hmm. yesterday. I was intrigued with him. And, one viewing is tough to really get a good opinion. And, hopefully things, some guys, the secure kid jumped out of me because they saw him 2 years ago. He's a little guy, and I really liked his progress over last year to this year. And but I could talk about a number of guys, and then they all have their own good stories, and hopefully we get a chance to coach all these guys. But last year we had so many guys called up that maybe they didn't think they were going to have this chance, and all of a sudden here they are playing for the Blackhawks. But the reality is real for these guys, and the opportunity is tremendous, and hopefully we get a chance to coach them all.
The prospect camp there are the kids, and then there's Grandpa Soupy. What are your thoughts on having Campbell back?
I think it's great. I'm very happy. And you know what? The way he played the last year, a couple years, he's got some company in that department with hosts anyways. But he had a couple of tremendous years.
Yeah, he did.
And he had great years in Florida from the outset. And I thought his best was right over the last couple of years. So we think he's on the right path to having to continue on to have another great year. And that his pace and his speed, he doesn't look like he slowed down and fast. And it looks like he's even faster. So I think we got a great player. He's got a great appetite to be back here. Can help us in a lot of ways. I feel our back end this year can be righted with him coming back. Kempney, hopefully he can take advantage of it. And some of the depth we have. So I think that's an area that we felt that we would like to shore up. And he definitely fills a big gap and void for us.
Yeah, and you think of Brad Richards coming back a couple of years ago for less money. Soup could have made more money elsewhere. He wants to be here. He lives here. He's got a couple of little kiddos. And he wants a shot at another cup, man. Well, you got a guy that's 37 who's played in the league as long as he has, who's that hungry. I mean, that's got to be a great player for you.
I think it's great. We're fortunate. I mean, it took definitely a haircut to come and play for us and get back here. And I know that's our ambition is to win a championship together, and that's his motivation as well. So I think that a lot of similar goals, but his experience of being here and other places as well can be helped and shared in a lot of ways, getting back into that locker room and being part of the leadership group, and I'm happy to have him part of it again.
Way the schedule sets up for you this year, it's going to be, again, you got a lot of those games bunched closely together, much like you had a couple of years ago. You've been through this before. Will you kind of approach it the same way, Joel, where you adjust your practice or no practice, knowing that you've got three games in four nights or situations where you have a lot of games in 1 week?
Yeah, we definitely we look at our schedule beforehand, but we're flexible in how we allocate days off. One thing is the changes of the rules here recently, where we have to give the players 4 days off before the month begins, before we used to give them out as we went along, and sometimes surprise and making them earn them was part of the incentive. But that's changed a little bit. But we feel having guys fresh and ready and what max out during games is what we're all about. And then staying as fresh as possible by giving them time away, and whether they were at the rink, working in the gym, and sometimes staying off the ice is the best medicine. But we go on a field basis as we progress each and every month and over the course of the season. But we're always going to have busy stretches, and so we'll see how we put it all together. But it's certainly we feel that everybody's way better off, and the performance is reflective of that by sometimes staying away from the rink.
Now, are you cool with everything that's going on this weekend? The Coach Q dunk tank, everybody filled in on that, right?
They might have filled up the dunk tank, but you got to get the right guy.
Well, looking forward to seeing you, man. I know it's and the thing is, look, the coach is lucky. The players are lucky. They're doing what they want and what they love. They're well compensated for it. They're cheered every night. But I'm telling you, it's a big deal in 2016 for this era of professional athletes to make the commitment the Blackhawks organization does to say thank you to the fans. And that's what this weekend is about. And thank you to you and your staff and your guys for stepping up, because, as you know, a lot of guys wouldn't.
Well, we appreciate that, Steve. And guys look forward to having some fun, seeing one another once again, and you know, getting to share, whether it's signing an autograph, taking a picture, telling a story, and in some of the different settings there. It makes for a fun weekend for the players as well, and a little bit of reminiscing as well. We've had some fortunate summers here over the last few years, and this summer we had a little bit more time away, and so I'm sure the guys will be looking forward to seeing one another again as well.
And itchy to get back. Thanks, man. Hang on one second off the air. I got to tell you something off the air. It's a dirty joke I heard that I think you'll like, and then I'll let you fly. Perfect. Stand by.
Okay.
Really? Well, now share with the rest of
he's
us.
He's a busy
yeah.
man. He's
no, I've got
something
I got to say to him. It's not a dirty joke. Continuing with the Wintrust Community Banks Hour at 8:56. Yes, David.
A little news that broke while we were talking to Coach Q. This is the story that won't end, Steve. The Tom Brady appeal.
Tom Brady's balls are back in the news?
They are. Federal appeals court has rejected Brady's attempt to get a new hearing on his suspension. So his only recourse now, apparently, is to appeal to the United States Supreme Court.
The Supreme Court taking this case would be a bigger... You know, it's 2016. Why would I even question? Of course they'll take the case. They'll take the case, and it'll be a circus, and it makes total sense.
Oh.
We live in the bizarro world now.
Yes.
You know
yes.
what? You're right. A year ago, I would have said they'll never hear this case.
No, of course they will.
But they issue their ruling in writing, you know, so.
Yeah, in June. Yeah, so it's inexplicable. It really is. It's inexplicable. We'll get to some sound next hour. We haven't gotten to yet. We'll also get to a special drop by from Kevin Powell as we make our British Open picks. You have an update on Hamilton?
I do. You know, Steve, we were waiting for, of course, Lin-Manuel Miranda did his last performance in New York over the weekend. There was some speculation that he might do a performance or two here. That's not the case. As you said, he's going to be at the opening, but Chicago's Hamilton cast has been announced. Alexander Hamilton is Miguel Cervantes.
Miguel Cervantes.
Miguel Cervantes. And Angelica Schuller is Karen Olivo.
She's the one from
Olivo.
Wisconsin?
Yeah, she's from Wisconsin. Cervantes is from Texas. He's the first actor other than Lin-Manuel to play in Hamilton. He was previously in the Broadway in Chicago production here of If Then and American Idiot.
Mm-hmm. And Wolf Blitzer's in this cast.
Wolf Blitzer, I don't think, is in this
cast. Oh, it's probably farther down. You probably
yeah, let me
yet.
Scroll down a little bit.
A couple of minutes before 9, back with the news in just a moment on 720 WGN.
The Steve Cochran Show.
Might be the premier home run hitter in the National League, and this is belted out of here. Chris Bryant, first pitch swinging, 1-0 National League.
I just wanted to get a hit in an All-Star game. I mean, I hear, I don't know, Bryce was talking earlier. He was saying, I just want to get a hit. I guess he hadn't had a hit in an All-Star game yet, so... to start off, my first All-Star game hit with a home run is special.
Hey now, you're an All-Star. Get your game on, go play. Hey
A lot of people are familiar with the fact that Kevin Powell gave up his slot on the team so Chris Bryant could play. Big of Kevin Powell who joins us in studio. Nice to see you.
Good to see you guys. Thanks for having me in.
Thanks for being on. And especially, you know, I don't know if you heard, we canceled Roe Show yesterday.
I heard that, yeah.
It's over? Yeah. It's done? Yeah. That was a good run.
That was a good call by you to move. No, Roe's doing great. Did you know Roe's doing great?
I heard that, yeah.
Anna's doing great?
Anna's great.
Kevin's doing great?
Kevin's okay.
Zippity doodah, their traffic girl's doing great?
Zippity doodah's doing well.
You guys
yes.
are doing a lot of things together. I saw the Taste of Chicago video that you guys made.
Yeah, and we did the drag racing. I think we're going to do a Pokemon Go one because... It's an app.
I'd hurry.
We're millennials, and yeah. We're gonna knock that out today. So that'll be up on the website later.
Standing by in San Diego, and I think we know what it really means according to the whales, is Lauren Majura from Channel 9, who's a... And we just lost her.
Oh.
Well, it's an international connection to San Diego that'll always do it. coming up around 9:20, Kevin, we'd like you to hang around to do British Open picks.
Great. I'm looking forward to it.
By the way, happy French Fry Day, Kevin.
It's French Fry Day? That's good to know. I should know these things. French Fry Day.
Yeah. Let's go to Lauren before the hamster dies. Good morning, Lauren Majura from Channel 9. How are you?
Good morning, you guys. How are you doing?
Doing fine. We got Andrea here, Dave Ennett, Chicago sports legend is here, Kevin Powell, who I know you know from Cubs games and White Sox games. I'm your friend Steve Cochran.
This morning.
Yeah, we got everybody out.
Full house.
Yeah, yeah. Oh, wait, this is a regular show, isn't it? This is actually who's here every day.
Must be nice.
All right, so how was the game last night from your perspective, and what stood out?
Oh, you guys, it was so cool. It was a really, really awesome experience. I mean, they really glam it up for the All-Star game. I mean, with so many Cubs there, I asked Addison Russell, you know, there's seven of your teammates here. What's the difference from this being a typical road trip? And he goes, I don't know, maybe the private jet, the luxury hotel rooms, wow. The fact that our families get to be here. So, I mean, this really stood out as something special for them. There's so many cool storylines that don't make air. I mean, one of the things that stood out to me as, like, such a cool moment last night that no one's ever really going to hear about is, so do you guys know how they did the tribute, the Fight to Cancer tribute that was such a special moment during the game?
It's tremendous. Sure, of course.
Right. So they were asking all the players to write a name down. And apparently Jose Quintana was sitting there thinking and said, you know, I don't have a name down. And he looked over at the security guard and said, can I write down a name for you? And the security guard said, yeah, my dad just died of cancer.
Wow.
I would be so honored if you would write his name down. And Jose said, can I do that for you? And he's like, yeah, please do. And so the security guard's like, I'm the verge of tears. And then all of a sudden the camera, you know, that's going over the broadcast does a pan and zooms in on Quintana and his dad's name.
How sweet is that?
He said he totally lost it. And then Quintana let him keep the sign. And he's like, I'm going to go home and frame this. Like, I just felt like it was just such a cool moment. You
that's
know, the
a
guy
great idea.
All choked up. This huge security guard, you know, and he's all choked up. I'm just like, man, that is such an awesome story. Such a cool moment. And, you know, it's one of those things that you don't get to talk about because there's so many other, like, really important things going on. But I just love that. That moment stood out to me as a really special one.
It's a great story. It's a tremendous story. And good for Jose. Dave.
Lauren, it didn't appear that Chris Sale was all that upset despite giving up the home run to Chris Bryant. Fair statement?
I would say very fair. You know, I asked him, could this possibly be a depiction of how the Crosstown Classic is going to go in 2 weeks? He laughed. He's like, absolutely not. You guys, this game is supposed to be fun. You know, I'm coming out hot throwing fastballs to Chris Bryant right off the bat. You know, we're not taking this too seriously. We understand the implications of the home field advantage for the World Series, but this is supposed to be fun. It's supposed to be big-time baseball. So, yeah, I know he didn't take that too seriously at all. He said that he had a good time with it.
What's funny,
he said as soon as he heard the crack of the bat, he said, I didn't even need to turn around. I knew it was out of the park. He said, I almost felt the impact of the hit hit me on the mound.
It was such a great hit. What I thought was really cool, Lauren, did you notice they were wearing really funky color shoes? And Chris Bryant had three different pairs of shoes in, I think, two innings.
Wardrobe change!
That's what I thought, too.
Really?
But yeah, so I Googled it, and I guess Yahoo Sports was saying that it's new shoes that they debuted for the All-Star game, but his were a light blue and then a kind of a middle color red and then a dark red, so they all symbolize the colors of the Chicago flag.
Oh, well, there you go.
Which is kind of cool.
That's cool.
And then Adidas had a flash sale online during the inning of the pair of shoes he was wearing.
Did they?
So each pair he switched out to, that you could go online and buy those.
Oh, the exact shoes.
So that was the sales pitch.
Oh, wardrobe change!
Hold on, I'm going to go online and get those shoes.
Lauren, I'd like to hit you with a hard-hitting baseball question. Were you able to test out any of the food out at Petco Park? Because social media was a buzz with all sorts of local seafood dishes and mahi-mahi tacos and things like that. You try any of it out?
You know what's so cool is, like, normally when you're covering a football game or a baseball game, you know, the media just kind of eats whatever they give you in the press box. Mm-hmm. But what they did was they just gave you a gift card and said, this is good for $15 for anywhere in the ballpark. And I'm thinking, oh, you know, am I going to eat a hot dog, nachos, or popcorn? You know, thinking like your typical ballpark food. There was, like, an entire health food section of the ballpark with fresh pressed juice, acai fruit bowls, like poke salad with fresh seaweed on top.
Yes.
Vegetable sticks and fruit.
You're in California, girl. Come on.
All the women reporters, I found it and I ran back. I was like, girls, I found fresh pressed juice and fresh fruit. They're all following me out. Like, this is so amazing. It was really cool.
Moses of Petco Park leading the women to the food.
Was there kale?
Oh, it was like kale and ginger and carrot.
There you go.
Just think, Dave, you could have been with all the girls. Hey, one last question before we let you fly. I know you're an ex-gymnast. We're getting close to Rio. What do you think of the assemblage of the women's and men's teams?
Oh, my goodness. They are absolutely phenomenal. I'm like, it brought me back to my childhood, watching the 96 Magnificent Seven, just like, these girls and these women are absolutely phenomenal. I can't believe how outrageous gymnastics has gotten these days. I mean, I don't know if it looks the same way to, like, the untrained eye, but gymnastics has taken on a totally new level. I watch them. Sometimes we'll have them on one of the TVs in the sports office. I get so distracted. I notice I have to, like, close my jaw. My eyes are huge. Absolutely incredible. I'm so looking forward to it.
Great talking to you. Get home safe.
Oh, thanks so much, guys. Thanks for having me. I really appreciate it.
All right, we'll see you. Lauren Majera from Channel 9. The new Rich King.
Yes, she is.
Yeah.
That's correct.
Yeah. So sweet.
Yes. She's great. Nice.
Doing a nice job. Mm-hmm. All right, Kev, we need you to stick around because we're not going to ask you about dating. We're not going to ask you about baseball necessarily, but when we come back, we're going to talk a little British Open.
Perfect.
But your Rory McIlroy had to say yesterday about people criticizing his decision and other golfers' decisions not to go to Rio, but the Open Championship starts tomorrow. And so far this year, Andrea Darlis and Mary Sandberg are your two winners. Mm-hmm. Darlis and Sandberg, your two winners for the first two majors.
Done.
Yeah.
I had the winner of the U.S. Open.
When was that? I don't remember that.
Last year?
Last month.
2 years ago?
No, Sandberg won.
No, I had the winner as the winner. Dustin Johnson.
You didn't win the pool.
I didn't. There's no pool. There's no money.
What are you talking about? The winner is Sandberg.
I had the winner and I had the other winners.
Yeah.
It's the pride pool.
It's a total number.
The overall score.
It's the pride pool.
Are you not familiar with how the game's played? It's not Monopoly. It hasn't ended.
Steve, in his defense, he hasn't won. So how would he know?
Oh, I see.
It's good to see there's still confusion when it comes to the golf picks here on the show.
By the way, Susan Berkus, your role in this will be to play the role of Mary Vandeveld, and it'll basically be things like criticizing everything we say and questioning things that you criticize.
All right. I'm stoked.
She's game.
All right, 9:20. Steve Cochran Show continues next on 7:20 WGN. Show of hands, if Caddyshack comes on your cable, who watches it? Everybody. Everybody. Well, not every scene. Some of the scenes I don't need to see again. Sandberg, you please arrive in the studio because you have to do the first picks. Sandberg, producer of this program, as winner of the U.S. Open, you need to pick first. Are you going to keep the chart of everybody's picks, or who's doing that?
I'm going to do it.
Okay. We begin with you, winner of the U.S. Open, and congratulations. Have you had a busy schedule since your championship?
I have. The press tour was
pretty kind of brutal.
Yeah. You feel your life has changed at all?
No, because I'm really grounded. The people I surround myself keep me normal.
Okay. Will you be giving back to the kids, except for the kid that wrote on your couch?
I will. I do that through the first tee, but yes, Kennedy is excluded.
Okay, she won one time. Let's go.
All right, Sandberg, your picks are?
Day, Willett, and Fowler.
Day, Willett, that'd be as in Danny. Uh-huh. I do hope he competes because I want more funny tweets from his brother.
Yeah.
And Ricky Fowler. Interesting pick on Fowler. Hasn't had a great year.
Yeah, he's due. And 5-under.
5-under is your winning British Open score at Troon. Andrea, winner of the Masters?
Spieth.
As in Jordan.
Rose.
As in Justin.
Sergio.
As in that guy. Sergio Garcia. It is Sergio Garcia. Is it Sergio Mendez?
No, it's Sergio Garcia.
Okay, winning
it's
score.
It's his time. I'm going 3-under.
3-under.
It's going to be some weather.
Let's go to Dave Ennett.
Adam Scott. Shane Lowry.
Oh,
I love him.
And Jason Day.
And Jason Day. Obviously not so excited about your third pick. And the winner score?
7-under.
7-under. 7-under. Did you look at the forecast, Dave? 7-under?
Yeah.
Feeling good about it?
Everybody thought the winning score in the U.S. Open was going to be higher than it was.
Yeah. It's a good point. Back to me.
All right.
Kevin Paul.
I will go Dustin Johnson, yes. Jordan Spieth, Sergio Garcia.
Jordan Spieth and Sergio Garcia. How about the winning score?
I think Dusty goes 7-under again.
7-under as well. Actually, I've got to ask you to change your winning score in the event of a tie.
I will go 8-under.
You really didn't need to change your winning score since you picked different players.
That's true. We're going to go back to 7-under for Kevin Powell.
Would you prefer 8 or 7?
Let's go 7.
That nice. These rules are so etched in
I've
stone.
I've changed my mind again. You have to change your score. Jake, your three players are?
Adam Scott. Louis Oosthuizen.
Okay.
Oh, by the way, I can't spell.
By the way, if you can spell Oosthuizen, I'll give you an extra pick.
Oosthuizen.
Yeah, if you weren't reading that off your computer screen, it would be fine. And your third pick?
Danny Willett.
Winning score.
I'll go 3-under.
Where's Bennett? Bennett, is Bennett with us?
He's with us.
He's following Pokemon Go somewhere.
Okay, Bennett.
No, is he?
Bennett, great to have you focused on the show, first off. Really appreciate your dedication.
Sorry, I just found a Pikachu in the studio.
Oh, no kidding. How exciting.
A Pikachu?
Yeah, Pikachu.
Pikachu!
Your three scores, or your three players, I should say.
All right, Sergio Garcia.
Webb Simpson.
Harold Varner III.
All right, you're not even trying.
I went with the name game on this one.
Webb
picking
Simpson.
Horses.
Yeah, Bennett's playing the role of Ross Cochran.
Do you know that?
Someone has to.
Do you know that Webb Simpson is a major winner?
I cannot confirm nor deny.
Yeah, he won the U.S. Open a few years ago.
Well, there we go. He's
a potential. Winning score from him.
Yeah, winning score.
10-under. It's gonna be a big day.
Wow. I'm gonna go with Chris Christie. Mike Pence.
Wrong category.
And former Senator Alan Simpson.
Yes.
How about Adam Scott, Ernie Els, and Jason Day?
Els? Yeah, where's
He's
that
played
from?
Great. Yeah. He's on a roll.
Good pick, Steve. That's
Who was your third?
Jason Day. Winning score, 11-under.
11-under?
11-under. Yeah, going
to
be 11-under.
Have you been to Troon?
And what did Doc Most pick? Do you
Doc
have this
Most
idea?
Has Day, Garcia, and Willett, and he said he's at 10-under. And he picked for Mary Vandeveld, the vacationing Mary Vandeveld. Okay. And she's got Piercy, Day, and Spieth at 12-under.
Now, did he ask her to pick, or did she ask him, I should say?
I really don't know their relationship.
What?
There's something going on. They went to high school together.
No, you know what was great? Your dismissiveness of me while you were telling me the answer.
Yeah.
All right, and what was Mary's winning score?
12-under.
All right, let's go live to Susan Burkus pretending she's Mary Vandeveld.
Yes.
Could you give me something in the range of a disgusting sound, just the fact that we're even doing this again? Not bad. Not bad. Mary Vandeveld is very strong.
Yeah.
Very, very strong. Congratulations. The Open Championship starts at about 2 a.m. local time. Is that right? I think it's 2 a.m. Yes. Might be 1 a.m. Local time. And we'll, of course, all be wrapped up in Pokemon Go, but we'll try to break away to watch it. Tomorrow on this program, you and Dave Ennett will be hosting.
Yes.
You'll have a wang-dang doodle of a show, including Chuck Todd, on Friday, Sandberg. Can you announce anything other than the Hawks extravaganza or any details about it? Still
Jeff
coming
Sabat
together?
Is the only one that I'm going to announce, and that the Blackhawks are sending us breakfast.
Okay. Oh, yes. Oh, yeah. Can you give us one player we might be talking to?
No.
Okay.
But it's somebody that I don't want to say because it would draw such big attention. Yeah. That
does his name rhyme with Kane?
No.
Taves?
No.
I got nothing. You're not going to tell me anyway.
It's Gretzky.
It's not Gretzky.
Yeah, Gretzky will be here. It's 9:30. Kev, we want to plug the Roast Show today?
The Roast Show, well, we'll be talking Pokemon Go, the video that I'll be shooting today. Well, that'll be up on the website. That's all I got for you, Steve.
And that's at 3 o'clock today?
That's at probably the 5 o'clock hour, 5:40.
Okay, that's pretty much the extent of prep they're doing for the Roast Show.
I'm not a producer anymore. I don't have all the details. It's going to be great. Just listen, please.
It's going to be great. That's at 3 o'clock this afternoon. Your big story's next at 7:20 WGN.
Back to the Steve Cochran Show. Well, I got me a fine wife, I got me old fiddle. When the sun's coming up, I got cakes on a riddle. Life ain't nothing but a funny, funny riddle. Thank God I'm a country boy.
Woo-hoo! 9:41 now. Let me reconnect here with Orion Samuelson. So we got a little bit of rain, but not a lot of rain. I spent a little time on the golf course, as you know, and those seem to be quite dry. How are the farmers doing? Do we not have O? Is he not reconnected? Maybe not. We were having a little bit of an audio problem.
After he picked Phil Mickelson, he did a mic drop.
Did he? And he walked out of the room?
That's it.
All right. Well, listen, if we reconnect, we'll let you know. At 9:42, we're making an effort now to reconnect with him. At 9:42, something came up yesterday, which to me was just the perfect juxtaposition on fame.
Okay.
And it's not necessarily a rip on the people that I'm mentioning first, or maybe it is. The Keeping Up with the Kardashian stars were given the third degree by a young kid named Sid. Sid got to interview the Kardashian stars, and they talked for a while, and mostly it was about Kim. Conversation started off easy. I don't know how old Sid is. I'm assuming Sid's less than 10.
Yeah, young kid maybe.
The conversation started off easy. Sid asking Kim why she's on a bunch of magazine covers. Kim said, I don't know, because I like magazines.
Is that what she said?
Yeah,
I don't know because I like magazines.
Yeah, as opposed to actually answering the kid's question and going, well, they take my picture because people buy the magazines.
Okay, you know what?
But this is my favorite. Little Sid said, are you famous? To which Kim responded, am I famous? And the kid said, how'd you get famous?
By posing?
Wasn't posing. It was a sex tape.
She said sex tape?
No, but how did she answer the question? She said, I don't like to use the term. And then she trailed off and the video ended. All right, so that's fame version number one. Here's fame version number two. Malala Yousafzai, who was shot in the face in Afghanistan by the Taliban.
Mm-hmm. When she was 14, right?
And when she was 14 and lived to survive and has made it her life mission for girls in the most fundamentally twisted part of the world to be able to get their education.
Mm-hmm.
Here's what Malala has done at the age of 19. And by the way, none of these involve a sex tape.
Mm-hmm.
She's a 2011 award winner for the first Youth National Prize in Pakistan. 2012, she spoke out against the Taliban. Remember, she was shot and almost died. In 2013, she published a book called I Am Malala, which is an amazing book. If you read anything this summer, I hope you read that. I Am Malala, the girl who stood up for education, was shot by the Taliban. It was a worldwide bestseller. 2014, she won the Nobel Peace Prize. 2014, she was named one of the most influential people of the world by Time Magazine and one of the most influential teens by far. That's all through 2014. 2015, she was runner-up for Time's Person of the Year poll. 2015, she and Emma Watson were hanging out to discuss feminism at a world conference. 2016, she has spent most of the year so far advocating openly for Syrian refugees and also in a time of hideous war and destruction in Syria, remembering that girls still need education.
Yeah, and spent her...
She's not a Kardashian.
No, she spent her 19th birthday as well, not clubbing... Not drinking. She was visiting the world's largest refugee camp.
Yeah. So that's the difference between the Kardashians and Malala Yousafzai. Now, I understand she's a once-in-a-generation human being. But, I mean, honestly, the stuff we pay attention to
right.
and the stuff we don't. It's 9:45. Quick break. We'll come back.
And we'll get to Big O, who we've recontacted in a moment on 720 WGN. .49 now. Steve Cochran Show continues. Show number 690. We got big plans for the 700 show. Huge.
Huge.
All right, we haven't really thought about it. At Cochran Show on Twitter anytime. Facebook.com/Steve Cochran Show as well. All right, let's go to Big O standing by, wherever Big O is today. You shooting TV?
Well, Big O is in Arizona today. Will be for the next 10 days or so, going out to visit a couple of cattle ranches and then spending a couple days at Mayo, because every year we do our physical at Mayo here in Scottsdale. So,
well, I could just ask you to turn your head and cough right now if that's easier.
No, I think I'll wait and let the doctor do it, because he does more than a little than turning your head and coughing.
Well, thank goodness.
Yes.
Hey, if you wouldn't mind, fill us in on the rain, the precip. How are we doing?
We're doing pretty well. As a matter of fact, Saturday and Sunday, we flew Air Orion up to La Crosse, Wisconsin, for a family gathering. And from the air, I have never seen Wisconsin look greener at this time of the year than this year. And for the past several weeks, the condition of the corn and bean crop in Wisconsin has ranked above any other state in the country at the good to excellent category. And the rains that have come, there'll always be some dry pockets. But, you know, when you're planting 92 million acres of corn, for example, it would take a pretty big dry pocket to have a huge impact on the overall yield. And right now we're looking at, I think, a bumper crop if nothing happens between now and harvest that is catastrophic. And our forecaster for agriculture, Greg Solier, on our TV show back in April was saying, don't see any signs of a major drought this year. And he's continuing to say that. And so the crops continue to look good. And have to say this for people who like to grill steaks and hamburgers, we're looking at an increased supply of beef coming to market. Cattle prices have dropped precipitously. That's why I'm going out to talk to some of the cattle ranchers here in Arizona. And prices are coming down. And so enjoy your steaks and hamburgers on the grill this summer.
Well, that's all good to hear. While you're in Arizona, what is your recreational activity?
Recreational activity will be in the pool. Now, I don't swim because I grew up on a ridge farm in Wisconsin. We didn't have water if the wind didn't blow for the windmill, so I didn't learn how to swim as a kid. But when I built this house in 1992, I said, I want the pool no deeper than 6 feet so I can stand on my tiptoes and be out of the water. So, but that will be recreational time in the pool.
And what about your wife?
Well, she's in there right now, and she'll probably be in the pool 3-4 times before the day comes to an end. So, and we're approaching a full moon in the desert, and there's nothing prettier than a full moon in the desert. So,
it really is. You know, everybody talks about big sky country being Wyoming, but you get a sky that's so close in parts of Arizona, yeah, and you get away from the city lights, man, it's something else.
Yeah, I just talked to friends who had spent about a week up in Sedona. And, of course, there you don't have city lights to speak of. And they said, my golly, there are more stars up there than you can imagine if you see it from Phoenix or from Chicago or for any other major city where you've got the light situation. So,
yeah, it's
crazy. We love the desert.
Yeah, I had a buddy that ran a hotel in Sedona, and I was up there. And you go outside at night, you can't believe it.
Yeah, yeah.
I mean, it looks like a planetarium.
Sedona's gorgeous. Yeah.
As a matter of fact, I've never forgotten this. Years and years ago, Illinois Farm Bureau invited kids from the inner city of Chicago to come out to a farm and spend about 2 or 3 days on the farm. And I talked to one little girl, I think she was about 10 years old, and her only comment was, I have never seen so many stars, because from Chicago she couldn't see them. So.
Yeah, how about that, right? That's the comparison. Well, right. Listen, enjoy your time there, and good luck with the doctor.
Thank you.
And we'll see you back here in the tower whenever you're back.
Yeah, we'll be back the last week of July, but I'll be here every morning, so I'll be talking to you back in Chicago.
Thank you, buddy, and say hi to Gloria. It's 9:53. Bill and Wendy coming up on 720 WGN. Many athletes have decided not to go to Rio. Rory McIlroy among them. Most of the prominent athletes that have bowed out have been golfers because golf is such an individual sport. Rory McIlroy is preparing for the British Open, and he spoke out about the criticism some of the athletes, including the golfers, are taking over skipping the Olympics in Rio. Here's that.
You know, I didn't get into golf to try and grow the game. I tried to get into golf to win championships and win major championships, and all of a sudden you get to this point and there's a responsibility on you to grow the game. And I get that, but at the same time, you know, that's not the reason that I got into golf. You know, I got into golf to win. I didn't get into golf to get other people into the game. But, like, I get where different people come from and different people have different opinions. But I'm very happy with the decision that I've made, and you know, I have no regrets about it. And I'll probably watch the Olympics, but I'm not sure golf will be one of the events to watch.
Sounds angry. You know, he does. He sounds angry. And I don't know that he necessarily has reason to be angry. He's got a pretty good life. But is there a responsibility in an individualized sport to grow the game?
Well, he sort of said, first he said, I didn't get into this to grow the game. And then he said, but I sort of understand why you have to grow the game. I mean, I would think any prominent athlete in their sport would want to promote their sport because that means more people are watching, and if more people are watching, that means bigger purses. So ultimately, there is a trickle down there, and I would think that Rory McIlroy would be in favor of that.
You think this will hurt Rory McIlroy's possibilities? Bill, you can chime in on this, of being Trump's VP.
Well, definitely. There's no question about that.
Yeah.
Wow, that was like a question from the McLaughlin group. Well, bigger purses, as Dave pointed out, mean bigger shoes, don't they?
Yeah, they do.
If you're going to get a bigger purse.
Accessorize.
Bigger purses make your butt look smaller.
Yep, they do.
Me. You still playing Pokemon Go?
Yeah. I'm not obsessed with it.
How many monsters do you have?
I don't know. I'm on the third level.
Is that good?
I don't know. You know, I'm not setting that. What did he say about setting the stage for someone? I don't want to represent the group. I'm not the Pokemon Go player. Just do it in my spare time.
Any of your other mom friends doing it?
I don't know.
Ask her if she
I'm embarrassed to say. Why do you sound guilty when you have this question? Why? There's a light swinging over your head. Where were you when Pokemon Go started?
Did you tell her the story about the kids, the mom who was driving the kids around?
Yesterday. How beautiful was yesterday, right? It was hot, but it was beautiful.
It was.
Right? And one of the great things about Pokemon Go is little chubby kids have to go outside and run around. And kids that aren't so chubby. So I see
But mostly chubby kids.
Well, you want kids to get exercise.
Sure. Yeah,
I was a chubby kid. Get exercise.
All right, yeah.